Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. As advertised, we're live at the Alabama State House, as promised yesterday on the program. Big shout out to Scott Stadhagen, the House Majority Leader, for making this facility available. He does it every week. And I'm not, once again, in the room of death like it was a couple weeks ago. But anyway, we're here. We just got a couple more weeks left, I believe, after this. Here we are. Coming up on the program today, warming up in the bullpen right now, State Representative Parker Moore in just a few minutes. State Representative Troy Stubbs will be with us at the bottom of the hour. We got the chairman of the Education Trust Fund at 10 o'clock, Danny Garrett. We'll talk about some of this tax package stuff, and we'll talk about the ETF. And then in the bottom of the hour, 10 o'clock, Jim Carnes, and he's a Vestavia Hills lawmaker. They got a real heavy lift with the Birmingham Water Works Board. It has really upended a lot of business in the State House. And then finally, Gerald Allen. I haven't had him on in a long time. He'll be with us in the 11 o'clock hour, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. Joining us now here in the this is a conference room, but we're here at the leader's office is Representative Parker Moore from North Alabama. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for hopping on, or thanks for coming by. Well, here we are. We're at this point in the session, and, it's always an emotional journey at this point, but you get the sense people are kind of ready to go home, but that's to be expected.
It is. And, you know, we got about 2.5 weeks left of this session, and I feel like, you know, things are starting to get more contentious and tighten up a little bit. You know, everybody's wanting to get their pieces of legislation for their constituents,
right,
you know, to the finish line. And unfortunately, not every piece moves, and not every piece moves as fastly as we would like to see. And so just depends which chamber that, you know, your bills get stuck in and trying to push. But everybody gets a little antsy here towards the end trying to get across that finish line.
Are you surprised this session? I mean, last year you had gambling, and that was kind of the shadow over the whole session. But, I mean, you really haven't had anything like that this year. And I don't know what the big thing is going to be walking away from the 2025 legislative session, but you haven't had anything, I think, that's like a big distraction necessarily like that.
I would say a lot of the potential bills that we could have had distractions on have been worked and vetted, and for the past year and a half or so, and leadership has done an extremely good job of trying to mitigate that for a lot of the members and try and ease that friction, if you will, with certain pieces of legislation, especially like the Alpha Health Insurance Bill and these PBM bills and some of these, right, others like that. I feel like
all that work is going on even before the gavel in, February or whatever it was, that you kind of, you're at least laying the tracks down, and you still got to go through some amendments and things like that, but you pretty much generally know the direction of that debate.
Yeah, you know, those type of legislation, pieces of legislation, are worked on for a couple years in the making, and they've got, coming into session, a general framework of what they want to see out of it, and that's when session starts, is really when the real work starts on legislators having an input on what they would like to see in there and kind of where those pieces of legislation move forward with those amendments.
Yeah, and I mean, that went about as smoothly as it probably could have gone with the PBMs you're talking about, and then the Alpha Health Insurance. It took them a couple of years. We started hearing about that last year, but they were kind of wrapped up in the gambling fight. But then they really, I guess, really worked it during the off season, and, you know, they still had to overcome some hurdles, but that could have been a lot uglier than it was.
Well, and that's kudos to all parties involved in that legislation for coming together and sitting down at the table and talking out what they can live with and what they can't in this legislation, because I think when you walk away from a piece of legislation where nobody's 100% happy, it's a good piece.
Yeah, well, because you're not playing favorites. And that's probably going to go down as like one of the biggest, most significant things you did this year. It's the third year of a quadrennium representative, and that's typically when these things come together, like a big deal like that. Next year, maybe not so much. Any expectations? I know we still got to get through to this week and next week, but
I would dare to say that our biggest achievement that we did this year was, having the largest tax cut in our state's history. I think that kind of gets overshadowed by some other things.
Well, that's still got to get through the Senate, though.
It does. Right? But I think that, there's a good path forward for that, and it'll benefit a vast majority of the people in our state.
Well, and, how much of the, and I know they're putting you on the spot here, but how much of the overtime tax discussion and that, I guess it's the grocery tax and a couple of expansions of deductions. I mean, how much was that into calculus?
Well, I think when you look at the overall tax burden and you look at the budgets, the overtime tax came from strictly one pool of money. The tax cuts that we implemented or that we passed out of the House here kind of over a broad range, so it doesn't hit one entity more than...
It's more broad-based.
It's more broad-based, but it's also more broad-based for the residents of our state, too. It will benefit more people.
Yeah, and you said it's kind of spread out among the two budgets, this is all ETF, I guess, because it started in the House, right?
The tax cuts?
Yeah.
It's a little of both.
A little of both. Yeah. We're joined by State Representative Parker Moore here on the program. Big bill for you. We want to get some talk about this. You got the GI Dependent Scholarship legislation. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, so every year there is a Military Stability Commission that sits down and evaluates priorities based on the needs of the veterans in our state. And one of those needs that they addressed was providing scholarships and expanding scholarships to our veterans' children and their spouses in our state. And so what we looked at doing was, how can we make this more accessible? And one of those avenues was decreasing the percentage of disability for our veterans for their dependents to partake in this. And also we created a pilot program because the GI Dependent Scholarship was set up for Alabama military veterans. And so what we did was open it up to, if a military veteran has come in and has lived here in our state for 5 years, if they're 50% disabled, it will allow their child or their spouse to attend college and get a scholarship.
Yeah, so how many people is that you think you're going to help with that?
So the pilot program, we capped at 100 people per year for 2 years to try and gauge the interest and the fiscal note to kind of see where we stand as a state on that.
So, you'll start bearing fruit here soon, and as that's enacted. What kind of led you to this? Is this something your constituents, talk about that.
Yeah, so I've always had a heart and a passion for our military and our military families, and I have a large contingency of military families and veterans in general in my district. I represent part of Redstone Arsenal, but a lot of the spouses and the veterans live in my district there in Madison and in Limestone and in Morgan County. And so listening to them and hearing their voices and concerns, and over these past 4 to 5 years, I've championed pro-veteran legislation through. And so this is just another piece in the tool chest, if you will, for trying to help them.
Talk about this. Now, I used to be on the air up in North Alabama, WVNN. It's a changing place, man. You're just like thinking about that and the arsenal and all that. It's always been kind of a little different from the rest of the state, tech and defense contractors. But it's not just Huntsville anymore. It's moved further west to your neck of the woods. Well, what's the picture look like there?
It is, and I think we're on the verge of seeing another growth. You know, we're anticipating to have Space Command be announced, which will be 5,000 to 6,000 more jobs. And of course, FBI has already come out and said that they're going to bring 500 additional jobs, if not more, here relatively quickly. And so, a lot of it is not just the people, but it's the infrastructure. You know, we've got to make sure that we have everything in place to accommodate this influx of people. And I also say the culture is becoming more of a melting pot. And, you know, that's something that I have had long-time generational families express to me. Make sure we retain the integrity and the values that we have and identity is that we have as a community. You know, growth is good, but remember who we are and where
that's
we came
the fear
from.
Because you get an influx of people from all 50 states and you start to lose a little of your identity culturally, socially, whatever. What do you do though? How do you keep that in place?
I would just say a lot of community events and involvement in bringing those people together so they understand who we are as a community and the values that we have. You know, if you're not active and involved in a community, people don't know who you are. So it's very important to have that sense of community, you know, and build those relationships with those that have been here.
Yeah, because when you start losing that identity and the politics change, and I mean, you see this in different places around the state over the years, but that's like one thing. People have been there for multi-generations. They worry about that stuff and getting too big and the infrastructure becomes too burdened and all of that. But, you know, just kind of watching from my neck of the woods down south, it seems like kind of adapted pretty well to it.
Yeah, I believe we have. You know, they're anticipating the growth trend to continue. And what we're seeing is actually these young adults and these kids moving in with their families and starting a life, and their parents and grandparents are moving in to these surrounding communities because they want to be close to those grandkids. And so there you're seeing a lot more move to Priceville, Decatur, even over into Scottsboro and Gunnersville, over to the lake and so forth. And so
the opposite thing where a lot of places in the state kind of have a brain drain. You know, people grow up and they move away. They're staying around those places in North Alabama you mentioned now.
They are. You know, I was actually on an airplane with someone going to D.C. a couple weeks ago for a meeting, and the lady that was right next to me had just moved to Goose Pond, and they had moved here from Illinois, from Chicago area, and they had moved down here, never been here before, but moved down here because their son and daughter-in-law and grandkids moved here for a job opportunity, and they wanted to be closer to those grandkids.
I mean, you're seeing that more and more, and then this may be kind of a post-COVID era thing where people are moving away from these blue states to red states, and they're looking around, and they don't want to completely go, you know, straight up pioneer, go, you know, till the land or whatever. But like North Alabama is kind of a good balance of that.
It is. It's becoming a good melting pot.
Right.
You know, for that. And but like I said, we got to make sure that we do our due diligence and make sure we keep our identity of who we are and not lose that.
Representative, we got to leave it there. We're up against a break here, but thanks for coming on kind of short notice. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
State Representative Parker Moore. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.